We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday, it's July 27th, it's 2021. We have 15 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. Riding solo today, big slate. Grant wasn't feeling well, so told him to go get better, and I'd take care of this one. So we're going to get through these games, a lot to talk about, big slate here. A lot of like iffy pitching types of plays on this slate. So, I mean, it will be really interesting to see where ownership looks like, closer to lineup lock here. So let's get into it. We get started with Milwaukee at Pittsburgh. Anderson against Anderson. Brett Anderson against Tyler Anderson, 8 total in this game. Milwaukee's a 125 favorite. Starting here with Brett Anderson, not a big strikeout guy, 11.5% on the season, you know, pitch to contact, tries to generate ground balls. So don't really have any interest in him here in this spot at 7,200. I think he's somewhat expensive. Tyler Anderson on the other side, he's 7K, facing an offense that is very hit or miss against left-handed pitching. On a different slate, I would say you could take shots on Tyler Anderson. I don't know if I end up taking shots on him on this one. He did, at the beginning of July, put up 28 fantasy points against this team. So, I mean, if you want to take shots, I don't think it's too crazy to take shots here on Tyler Anderson. But I think overall, not going to have a ton of interest in him. As far as the Milwaukee bats go, I mean, Adames is always someone that has power. Garcia is another guy that has power against left-handed pitching. Those would be the two guys that I'd be looking at the most here. I mean, you could take shots on Kane. Throughout his career, Kane has been better against left-handed pitching. He's supposed to be back for this series. I was kind of assuming that he was going to play here. So if he does come back, he's 3,200, and we'll kind of have to see if he's expected to play the whole game or not. On the Pittsburgh side, I mean, I don't hate Pittsburgh here. Hayes and Reynolds, maybe Stallings would be where I would end up on some of these Pittsburgh bats. You know, looking at pricing, I think that's the obvious juicy part of looking at this team. You play Reynolds, Hayes, and Stallings, and they're all under 4K, and use them as like a secondary stack in this one. So don't mind Pittsburgh. Wish it was in a better ballpark, but I do think they're going to make a lot of contact in this game. So they are very playable. Washington at Philly, 9.5 total in this game. Philly's a 125 favorite. Eric Fetty against Matt Moore. As far as like Fed goes, I don't really have a ton of interest in him in this spot. I really don't like either one of these pitches. Fed, you know, 5x FIP on the season, 20% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate, does generate enough ground balls, but I don't think this is a spot where on a 15 game slate, we're looking for guys that generates ground balls. So don't have a ton of interest in him. And then Matt Moore on the other side, again, low strikeouts, big time walk rate, and just has been absolutely atrocious against right-handed bats this season. So the Washington bats, I have a ton of interest in these guys. You know, obviously Juan Soto is super expensive. Trey Turner is super expensive, but the rest of the stack, Josh Harrison is cheap. Escobar is cheap. Zimmerman's 3.1K. Kaboom could be in the lineup here. He's really cheap. If you're playing over there on DraftKings, he's 2,100. So I think that this Washington team is definitely one of those stacks that I'm going to be kind of paying attention to ownership and hoping that they fly under the radar. But I mean, I think this total is going to go up as well. On the Philly side, I mean, Harper, obviously McCutcheon and Hoskins and Realmuto would be your main targets here. I think McCutcheon is still, you know, very reasonably priced, having quietly a really decent season. So I think McCutcheon very playable here at 4,200. Miami at Baltimore. This game has a 9.5 total. Miami is a slight favorite here at -130. It's Alcantara against Watkins. Alcantara is super interesting in this game at 8,500. I mean, I wish this game was in Miami. I'd have a lot more interest in him if this game was in Miami. He's very good against righties. And I mean, outside of DJ Stewart and Mullins, this is a very right-handed heavy team. So I like this spot according to like just kind of looking at the matchup. You know, he has big time strikeout stuff against righties. He limits the damage against righties. And if he's really at the end of the day going to face like two lefties, I think he's very playable in this spot. And like DJ Stewart's a lefty, but he has a 30% K rate against right-handed pitching this season. So I think overall you could definitely look at Alcantara. Again, wish this game was in Miami, but I think 8,500 is a price tag that he could put up 25 plus fantasy points here. He has struggled a little bit recently, but I mean, I think this matchup is a matchup that really fits like his style. Watkins on the other side, I mean, this guy's really struggled with command. You know, he's been really solid against lefties, but he's really struggled with righties. And I mean, this is a very right-handed heavy offense. He's 5,600. And again, he does have some strikeout upside. He threw 92 pitches. He's thrown at least 83 pitches in three straight starts. Pitched really well against Tampa last time out. I mean, at this price tag, if you're playing a lot of tournament teams, I definitely could see the appeal of taking some shots here on Spencer Watson. But I mean, overall, I don't have a ton of interest, but I don't also have a ton of interest in these bats. I mean, I think Duvall is super interesting. This guy's allowed a lot of hard contact and fly balls in a small sample size to right-handed hitters. So I think Duvall is someone that is very much in play, but overall, I think Watkins is someone you could take a shot on and maybe taking a one-off of Marte, Duvall, Aguilar, potentially three-man stacking it, but it's not my favorite thing to do. On the Baltimore side, I mean, Alcantara, like I said, very good against righties. So if you want to target Mullins or Stewart, I don't hate that idea. But overall, I have a lot more interest in this Alcantara spot than I do in the Baltimore bats. Atlanta at New York facing the Mets. This game, there's no current total out for this one. It's going to be Morton, and it sounds like it's going to be Anthony Banda pitching what looks to be a bullpen type of game for the Mets. We'll have to see if they make any call-ups or anything, but it looks like it's going to be a bullpen game for the Mets. Charlie Morton, 9,800 here going up against the Mets. I mean, I think the price tag is the sticker shock is the biggest thing here. I mean, There are some strikeouts in this lineup, but I mean, they're at 20.8% for the projected starting lineup. I mean, Nimmo is a guy that strikes out a bunch, and Dom Smith and James McCann, but the rest of this lineup is like in that 18 to 22% range. So I think Morton is a little pricey here. I mean, the ballpark is nice. I definitely could see him having a really strong game here. He put up 40, almost 40 fantasy points against this team in New York earlier this season. So the upside is certainly there. And he's definitely obviously priced for the matchup. I don't really have any interest right now in the Mets situation. We'll have to kind of see if we get someone that is going to actually make a lot more work. As far as bats go on the Atlanta side, I mean, Freeman's always in play. But, I mean, Albies is 4K. I think Albies is someone that, like, if you just want to price play someone, I think Albies is too cheap. He's a switch hitter, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter who's pitching if it is going to be a bullpen game. So, a lot of interest here in Ozzie Albies at this price tag. And, I mean, I don't hate Austin Riley at 3,700 either. So, if you want to two-man those guys or even throw in Freeman to make it a three-man, definitely don't hate that idea. But a lot of interest here in Ozzie Albies at this price tag. Mets bats, I mean, I don't have a ton of interest in the Mets. Charlie Morton is a guy that does generate a lot of ground balls, doesn't give up a ton of fly balls. Not a guy that typically, you know, gets pounded for more than like one home run. I think he's allowed 3 home runs in his last 10 starts and no more than one home run in any of those starts. So, I mean, I think the upside is pretty limited here for the Mets, and I don't have a ton of interest in them on a big slate like this. Toronto at Boston, 10 total in this game. Toronto's a 125 favorite. We got Robbie Ray and Garrett Richards. Robbie Ray, obviously having a really good season. He's 10-1. He's kind of expensive. He just struggled against this Red Sox team in his last start. Faces them again here in Fenway. I don't have a ton of interest in Ray. I think if you're playing large field tournaments, you could definitely take a shot on like just the skill set of Robbie Ray. I mean, this guy has a 31.7% K rate on the season. It's really the price. It's 10-1. Obviously Vegas expecting a lot of runs to be scored in this game. I think we're all going to kind of expect a lot of runs to be scored in this game. It definitely looks to be like a very juicy spot. So I don't see myself using Robbie Ray a lot, if any. But again, like I'm a 1-3 lineup person. So, I mean, if you're playing 150, I think ceiling wise, you're looking at the ceiling as far as like Robbie Ray goes. Garrett Richards on the other side of this game. I mean, this is an easy pass for me. You know, Toronto, big offense. Garrett Richards, a guy that doesn't have a big strikeout rate and gives up a ton of hard contact to a team with a ton of power. I mean, I know Toronto has kind of failed us here recently, but I think this is a spot that we go back to the well. I think it's a great spot for them overall. And I mean, I love these bats and I don't really have a ton of interest in Richards. Like I said, this guy, 31.5% hard to soft contact ratio on the season. So I think overall, this isn't a spot that I want to play Richards. I want to play the bats. Springer, Vlad, Simeon, Bichette, Teoscar, Biggio, Grichik, Gurriel. I mean, all these guys I think are in play for Toronto. On the Boston side of things, I mean, Kiki Hernandez, Bogaerts, JD Renfroe, all very much in play. I think Renfroe is someone that I really like for tournaments at 3,200. I don't think a lot of people will target him against Robbie Ray. And again, I really like the price tag on him. So Kiki is 4-1. That's not bad. JD under 5K, Xander under 5K. So overall, I think Boston's a team that you could definitely look at stacking against Robbie Ray. When he does get hit, it's usually pretty hard. We got the Yankees and the Rays, Jordan Montgomery, Shane McClanahan, 7 total in this game. Tampa, a 165 favorite. I've already seen this line move quite a bit, so I expect this line to move a lot. If, you know, I think this run, this line moves at least one run here before, maybe even before you listen to the podcast. As far as Montgomery goes, 6,700 is a very fair price tag for him. He is someone that I think could potentially beat the Rays and pay off his price tag. My biggest concern, this is the fifth time he's faced this team this season. The positive to that is he's averaging almost 20 fantasy points against this team in four starts this season. The price tag is very fair. Tampa on offense for lefties to kind of beat. So I don't hate Montgomery here. There's a lot of strikeouts at the bottom of the order, especially if they leave the lefties in there with Meadows, Lau, Wendell, and Kiermaier. 30%+ strikeout rates there, and this guy has a big-time strikeout rate against lefties. So if the Tampa lineup comes out and it's very left-handed heavy, very, very doable here for Montgomery. Remember, Nelly Cruz is in this lineup now. It obviously offers a big right-handed bat against left-handed pitching that they've kind of needed. So, I mean, is that enough to scare me away from Montgomery? I don't think so at 6,700. On the other side, we got McCallahan. He has shown that he has some strikeout upside. He's 9,300. If he was somewhat cheaper here, I would have so much interest. The price tag is up there, but I mean, this guy has a 28.8% strikeout rate on the season. This team has over a 23% K rate against left-handed pitching this season. So I see the argument to take shots here. It's more of the price is a lot. McClanahan. As far as the Yankees bats go, Stanton, Sanchez, tournament options. I mean, LeMahieu always in play against lefties. He just really hasn't had a ton of power against lefties this season. He's been hitting the ball on the ground a lot. So don't have a ton of interest in the Yankees bats here. On the Tampa side, again, Nelly Cruz, and like you can make a three-man stack now with the Rays against left-handed pitching. You go Rosarena, Franco, and Cruz. Not my favorite stack. This game's in Tampa. Yankees have a really good back end of the bullpen. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing when you're looking at potentially stacking against them. St. Louis at Cleveland, 9 total here. Pick'em game. Adam Wainwright, Cal Quantrill. Wainwright is 8,800 in this spot. I mean, the Cleveland lineup is not that great, especially the bottom half of this lineup. I think Wainwright is okay. I mean, the matchup isn't bad at all. Like I said, this lineup, not very good. So I could see Wainwright pitching well here. My problem with Wainwright is at 8,800, you really need him to go out and strike out a lot of people. And I mean, there are 5 guys in the projected lineup with strikeout rates over 30% against right-handed pitching this season. The problem is Wainwright is usually not a big strikeout guy. Cal Quantrill on the other side, really decent against right-handed hitters. You know, limits fly balls. My biggest thing, and limits power, but my biggest thing when you're looking at Quantrill is he's not a big strikeout guy. So I don't think he's going to be able to beat the St. Louis lineup being a low strikeout guy. As far as the bats go here for St. Louis, I don't think they're bad options, but I also don't think that like Arenado, O'Neill, Goldschmidt would probably be the 3 guys that I'd target here. The problem is just the pricing. Goldschmidt's 53, Arenado's 52. O'Neill, 3,300. That price tag's fantastic. I think he's definitely someone that you could play as a one-off or part of that like mini stack. As far as Cleveland, you know, you could always take shots on Jose Ramirez or Framil Reyes. I think those guys are in play. But, I mean, we might not even see Reyes in the lineup here. Like, he didn't play Sunday. He was having some back spasms. So this lineup could be even worse. That might even push us towards Wainwright a little bit more. We'll have to kind of see. Moving on, we got Cincinnati at Chicago taking on the Cubs. There is a total out on a couple books here, a 9.5 with the Cubs, a 160 favorite. Vladimir Gutierrez against Alize. Gutierrez at 7.8K. Like, I love the idea of picking on the Cubs right now with just about anybody. My problem is Gutierrez, not a big strikeout guy. You know, 15.6% on the season, 12% against lefties. And, I mean, he's going to face three or four lefties in this lineup. Strikeout rate goes up a little bit against righties, generates a little bit more ground balls against righties, but overall still not a huge strikeout guy. So, I mean, that's my biggest concern with Gutierrez here is just overall upside. On the other side, I mean, Alize does have some strikeout upside. He struggles more against lefties. And I mean, you got Winker, Votto, Naquin, and the rest of this lineup is going to be very right-handed heavy. He definitely has some upside if he can get through these lefties, but I mean, the lefties definitely could beat him in this spot. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest concern when paying $8,300 for Alize. Could he beat him? Sure. I mean, yeah, there's some upside here. Cincinnati bats, man, I like Winker a lot. He's 4,400 on this slate. I think this is a great spot for him. Really like the price on Joey Votto as well. So if you want to take a two man or even throw in Naquin there, at 2,800, I think the three man Cincinnati stack is, somewhat potentially lower owned here. And I mean, the Cubs, they're like Baez is expensive. Didn't he get a walk off the bench on Monday night? I'm pretty sure. I don't know what to do with the Cubs here. They've been struggling, but like Rizzo's price is 4,200. Wisdom is 3,900. This dude has a 395 ISO against right-handed pitching this season. I mean, he's a big strikeout guy, but it's not like Gutierrez is a big strikeout pitcher. So I don't hate taking some shots on the Cubs here. Don't know if I fully go with a full five-man stack. I probably limit it to like three. It's just like when you're looking at potentially five stacking, like Toronto and Boston and some of these other teams that we're going to talk about, they look a lot better on paper than like potentially stacking the Chicago Cubs. Arizona at Texas, 8.5 total here. Texas, a 150 favorite. Widener against Dunning. Dunning or Taylor Widener, 7,700 here. We know that like Texas is a team that has some strikeout upside or ability. My problem is Widener gives up a lot of fly balls and a lot of hard contact. And I mean, there's a lot of power in this lineup. So overall, I think, you know, taking shots on some of these bats for Texas makes a lot more sense than playing Widener here. And you could play both sides of the plate against Widener. He gives up a lot of hard contact to both sides of the plate. And, I mean, Dunning on the other side, solid. He doesn't really get blown up. I mean, I think this is a spot that at 6,400, if you're looking for a cheaper pitcher, you could take shots on him. And he's been a lot better at home. He has some big-time home road splits this season. And I mean, it's still a smaller sample size when you're looking at like a 90 inning sample size, but big time home road splits, a lot more strikeouts at home, a lot more home runs on the road. WHIP is way higher on the road. XFIP and on Sierra both lower at home. So I think Dane Dunning, very much in play here against this Arizona lineup. As far as the Arizona lineup goes, I mean, Escobar, maybe Calhoun, there's no pop. He's striking out a very high clip. One of the reasons that I like Dunning is this lineup just doesn't look juicy at all right now. As far as Texas goes, low Garcia, Gallo. If Heim is in the lineup and he's batting, you know, in a decent spot, he's still only 2K over there on DK. If you're looking for like a punt catcher, I think he's someone that is very, very playable here. Moving on. Cruising right along. Hopefully I'm not going too fast. I always talk fast when I do solo podcasts, which is crazy. Been doing it a long time, but yeah. We got Chicago White Sox, Kansas City Royals, Dylan Cease, Brad Keller, 9.5 total. White Sox, 150 favorite in this one. Dylan Cease, 8,600. I mean, I definitely like this price tag. There's a lot of strikeouts here with Soler, O'Hearn, Dozier, Perez, Taylor, all over 26% against right-handed pitching this season. Dylan Cease, almost a 30% K rate on the season. So, I mean, 8,600 is definitely a really good price tag for Dylan Cease. So, if you're playing tournaments, I definitely think you want to get some exposure to Dylan Cease. I could see him having a really strong game or busting. Oh, shocking analysis there. I mean, Brad Keller on the other side, not a big strikeout guy. A lot of hard contact, doesn't generate a lot of soft contact. Does, however, generate a lot of ground balls. But I think overall, this is not a spot for Keller. As far as the White Sox bats go, I mean, Sheets, if he's in a good lineup spot, he's 3,400. He's shown a lot of power in a small sample size against right-handed pitching. Goodwin, Abreu, Eloy, all these guys very much in play here against Keller. On the Kansas City side, I mean, you could always take shots on Perez if you want to pay up. O'Hearn, Santana, Soler. Soler had a good game on Monday night. I mean, he's, you know, a streaky guy, and he's 2,800, and like he's had, what, two days back-to-back with multiple home runs. So maybe, you know, he's someone that you could take shots on and just kind of play that streakiness of Soler. Detroit at Minnesota. 9.5 total here. Minnesota, 220 favorite. We got Tyler Alexander against Kenta Maeda. Tyler Alexander is 5K, not a big strikeout guy. The Minnesota lineup is really, really weak right now. I mean, there's worse things that you could do, but I don't think this is a spot that you take a shot on Tyler Alexander. I don't think he pitches more than like 65, 70 pitches here. I just don't know if he has like the overall upside. I mean, the price tag is nice, but I still worry about like the overall upside here for him. Kenta Maeda on the other side, 8,200. I mean, I think he's going to be pretty popular here. Just put up 18 and 23 against this team within the last few weeks. Like I said, I think he's going to be popular. He's a big favorite. I mean, I'm worried about the win. I mean, this lineup is not anything to write home about right now. But I mean, Kenta Maeda, 24.4% K rate on the season, 6% walk rate, facing an offense with only two guys with an ISO over 200 against right-handed pitching this season. So, I mean, I think he's one of the safer options on this slate. I think he's going to be, you know, somewhat popular here as a big-time favorite. Detroit bats, I mean, Badu and Haas would be the two guys that I'd be looking at here. They've obviously shown the most upside outside of like Jonathan Scope on the season. But yeah, I think overall this is a spot that I'm not going too crazy here unless I just want to get contrarian against the chalky pitcher on the slate. Minnesota bats, I mean, Garver and Donaldson very much in play, maybe even like Sano. You know, Alexander does give up a lot of fly balls and hard contact. Garver is somewhat expensive here. Donaldson is priced right at 4,200. I really like Donaldson in this spot. I mean, I like the price tag a lot. Moving on, we got Colorado at LA taking on the Angels. 9.5 total in this one. Angels a 130 favorite. Austin Gomber against Jose Suarez. Gomber, 7,100 here, going up against LA. I mean, came back and threw 71 pitches last time out. Had a really strong outing against Seattle. could you play him here? I mean, I think the price tag is very tempting. You know, obviously one of the best hitters in this lineup, Otani. My problem with Gomber in this spot is this team's going to go very right-handed heavy against him, which makes him like boom bust because he has a higher strikeout rate against righties, but he also allows a little bit more power to righties, which is very typical for a lefty. I mean, I think he's a great tournament play. On the other side, Suarez, I mean, I am one to pick on Colorado, especially when they're on the road. But Suarez, 20% K rate, 10% walk rate on the season. He's been really solid against righties. He just doesn't typically strike out guys at a very high clip, and he's 7,300. I think this price range is actually pretty strong for this slate. So I think overall, this is a spot that I'm going to stay away from Suarez. As far as the bats for Colorado, obviously Story and CJ Crone. I think Rogers is interesting here at 3,900. He's shown a lot of power in a small sample size against left-handed pitching this season. So Hampson, Crone, Rogers, Story, all very, very interesting here. Don't know if I fully stacked them, probably more as like one-offs or even like a two-man stack. On the Angel side, I mean, Justin Upton, this guy has shown a ton of power against left-handed pitching this season. He's 3,300. I know he's kind of been really cold since coming back from injury. I think he only has one hit since coming back from injury. I think you play the numbers game here and just kind of take a shot at him against the lefty. I think he's very interesting for tournaments. We got the Dodgers and the Giants facing off in this one. This game has an 8 total. San Francisco opened as the favorites, and this game moved to 8.5, and the Dodgers, the 130 favorite now. Julio Urias against Logan Webb in this one. Urias is a little interesting here. I mean, this team's going to go very right-handed heavy against him. He's been really solid against righties this season. They're obviously missing, you know, some key pieces still in this lineup. But, I mean, I don't hate taking a shot here on Yuli Urias. He doesn't typically walk a lot of people, low walk rate, good strikeout rate. And then Webb on the other side, I mean, I think this lineup is healthy enough now. We'll have to kind of see if Bellinger is back with the hamstring injury. So we'll have to kind of see. I mean, he's been fighting injuries all season, and Betts is out. You know, obviously Seager's out as well. Lux is out again. But, I mean, yeah, just when you're looking at the Dodgers lineup, even with those guys out, they walk a lot. They don't strike out a ton. Webb's a big ground ball guy. You could do a lot worse in this price range, I think, but I don't think this is a spot that I end up on Logan Webb. He doesn't pitch deep into games either. Remember that. As far as bats go here for the Dodgers, I mean, Muncy is someone that I don't mind. Smith is someone that I don't mind. I don't love the bats in this game. I think overall this is a good game for pitching. And then like Urias on the other side. I mean, Posey is someone that hits left-handed pitching really well. Ruff or Slater, you always have to worry about like pinch hit risk with those guys, though. That's the biggest concern when potentially looking at those guys. Oakland at San Diego, 8.5 total in this one. San Diego, 130 favorite. Kaepernick against Paddock. Kaepernick here, 9,400 for the youngster. 26% strikeout rate on the season. Has shown some really big upside. This is a tough matchup. You know, San Diego went out and added Adam Frazier, who leads the Major League Baseball in hits this season. I mean, the lineup is even tougher now. Don't think this is a spot I want to play Kaepernick. 9,400, I think, makes it a little bit easier to stay away from him. If he was like 7,400, maybe we're having a conversation on him here. Chris Paddock on the other side, he's 8,100. He's really struggled this season. I mean, can't even, it's been over a month since he had a fantasy point game over 20. He's really struggling. The pitch count is all over the place. I'm probably going to stay away from Paddock here. I get it if you're going to take some shots in tournaments, but I think this is a spot I'm going to stay away from. As far as the Oakland bats go, Mark Canha is interesting. Paddock's kind of reverse splits, and Mark Canha is kind of reverse split power type guy. So him and maybe Olson and Kemp, I could definitely see going like a three-man here. But, I mean, Mark Canha, I think, is a great one-off target for just looking at power. On the San Diego side, I mean, Kaepernick is really strong. He does allow a lot of hard contact. So I think if you want to look at like Tatis, Gresham, Machado, Cronenworth, and just hunt some power, I think that is what I'd be looking at here, especially, you know, on the San Diego side. We finish it out. Ooh, 15 games. Cruising right along here. Houston at Seattle. 8 total in this game. Houston's a 150 favorite. Lance McCullers against Chris Flexen. I mean, I think Lance McCullers, even at 10-4, is the top pitcher on this slate. The Seattle lineup outside of like Seager and Haniger, it is just a team that strikes out a lot. They don't have a ton of power. You know, McCullers is a guy that generates a lot of ground balls. He has a big strikeout rate. He's expensive at 10-4, and, I mean, he's been very hit or miss here recently, but I think this is a spot we could see him go out and have a big game. So I have Lance McCullers as the top guy today. I think he's going to be somewhat popular. Chris Flexen on the other side, low strikeout guy, facing a very good offense. Don't really have a ton of interest in him. Houston, I mean, there's going to be a lot of contact here. Chris Flexen throws a lot of strikes. So I think Houston is one of those like potential sneaky stacks on the slate that I don't think a lot of people will be on. So late game hammer, and I really like the Houston stack. On the Seattle side, I mean, Haniger and Seager are always fine, but I really just don't see myself using those guys today. If I was going to play anybody, it'd be those guys. But overall, I don't have a ton of interest here. Morning grind game. Thanks for sticking it out with me again. Hopefully I didn't talk too fast. It's always good. Like when I do solo podcasts, I always feel like I break it down for myself better. Under 8K to get 6 or more strikeouts, give me Dane Dunning. Over 8K to score under 15 fantasy points today. Give me Kaepernick against San Diego. Over 4K to hit a home run today, Joey Gallo. Under 4K to get 2 hits, I'm going to say Tyler O'Neill, and one of those hits is going to be a home run. Stack to score 6 or more runs today. I'm trying not to go like Boston or Toronto. Give me, trying to get off the board a little bit. Give me Texas. I think that's off the board enough. Give me Texas. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking some more baseball. We'll have Will on the podcast with us tomorrow. Look forward to talking some baseball with Will. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.